keeping you country company. Dakota Country, KOKK Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Lots of baseball scores to report from yesterday. Class A State Legion Tournament in Brookings is down to two teams left to decide a champion. Yesterday, Brookings, with the number 7 seed, advanced to the championship. They defeated 5 seed Watertown 13-1 in 5 innings that eliminated Watertown. And Renner had a walk-off 7-6 win over Harrisburg. Renner, the 3 seed. Harrisburg, the top seed. That eliminated Harrisburg. So the championship is set for today. We'll get to the schedule coming up. The Class B State American Legion Baseball Tournament started yesterday. First round games in Salem. Elk Point Jefferson shut out Lake Norton Badger 2-0. Del Rapids shut out Big Stone City 10-0. Parkston shut out Platte Geddes 9-0. And the host team, Salem Montrose Canova, defeated Groton by a score of 9-1. Teener baseball state tournaments going on at different locations around the state. Huron 16 Teeners are at their state tournament in Rapid City. In their second pool game, Renner defeated Huron 9-5. So Huron 1-1 now. Play Brandon Valley today in their final pool game. Huron 13-14s opened their state tournament yesterday in Brandon. A come-from-behind 11-8 win over Spearfish. Huron now plays Sioux Falls today in the winner's bracket. So let's run down the schedule. The Class A Legion baseball tournament. Just two teams remain, as I said. It's Renner and Brookings for the championship. Renner still undefeated in the double elimination tournament. Brookings does have a loss, so Renner needs to win once. Brookings needs to win twice to claim the Class A championship. Those Teener baseball games, as I said, U16, Brandon Valley playing Huron to wrap up pool play, and 13-14s playing Sioux Falls in the winner's bracket. At the Class B Legion baseball tournament in Salem, second round today will begin with a pair of elimination games. Lake Norton Badger will play Big Stone City, and Platte Geddes will play Groton. In the winner's bracket, Elk Point Jefferson plays Parkston, Del Rapids plays Salem Montrose Canova. That double elimination tournament continues with the state champion to be crowned on Tuesday. That's what we have for the scores. Other notes to pass along. Hard to believe, but we're getting set for the start of the new sports year for the Huron Tigers, with practices beginning for some sports beginning on Monday. Cheer and Dance begins their season with practice 3:45 at the Huron High School gym. Boys soccer starts 6 o'clock at Tiger Stadium on Monday. Girls soccer starts at 7 o'clock at Tiger Stadium on Monday. Girls tennis, for high school girls who have played tennis for more than 1 year, practice will begin Monday at 6 o'clock at the Huron Tennis Courts. Remember, the girls last year were unable to play on the tennis complex due to construction, but now back to normal. Other start times, high school football will begin on Tuesday, August 12th, beginning at 8 o'clock, or that's Monday, August 12th, that should be. Boys golf, Monday, August 12th for JV and varsity, 8 a.m. at Broadland Creek. Cross country begins August 15th, 6:30 a.m. at the high school gym. And high school volleyball also starts on Thursday, August 15th, 4 o'clock at the arena. With that, athletes need to be sure that they have all their paperwork completed before they start the new school year. Athlete needs to be sure that they have an updated physical, if needed, on file at the athletic director's office. Physicals are available at the Huron Clinic. Call for an appointment, 605-352-8691. Also available at Carr Chiropractic, 605-352-5264. And Schroeder Chiropractic, 605-352-4297, free by appointment only. New Life Clinic, call for an appointment, 605-352-2177. Parent must be present and bring an insurance card. Also for Huron Tiger athletes, impact testing has begun. That's the concussion baseline. The test is good for 2 years. So if you hadn't taken one since 2022, you need to take one again this year. And it's also good if a concussion has happened in the last year to take the test again for to get a new baseline. The next rounds of testing will be Monday, 11 till 12:30 at the high school, and then Tuesday, 9:30 till 11:30 a.m. at the high school. Here on Junior Athletics, 5th and 6th grade tackle football program is getting set to a start. Registration and equipment checkout will be Monday night, Tiger Activity Center. 6th graders check out at 6 o'clock, 5th graders at 6:30. Registration fee is $100. Scholarships are available. A separate equipment deposit check will be needed for $140. That would be returned once the equipment is turned in at the end of the season. First practice is scheduled for August 12th. It's a big weekend for the Minnesota Twins. Joe Mauer Hall of Fame weekend. They kick things off, opening a three-game series with the Chicago White Sox last night. Twins blew the game open late and picked up the win. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
Well, the Twins were back at Target Field to welcome in the Chicago White Sox, a club that had lost 17 consecutive games. The White Sox have been keeping things close, then would make just enough mistakes late in a ballgame to get blown out of the water. And it was interesting to watch this one get underway. Royce Lewis, first inning, two-run homer, gave the Twins a 2-0 lead. Joe Ryan struck out four men in the first two innings, six up, six down. But he gave up a two-out, two-run homer in the third, and the game was tied. Then, as we were chatting with Twins first-round pick Kalen Culpepper, it was Lewis again with two aboard. This ball crushed right center field by Royce Lewis. Robert Jr. won't get it, and it rolls to the 403 sign.
Look,
here's the track meet. Watch Byron run right up the back of Trevor Larnach. He gears down, stomps on home. It's a 4-2 lead for the Minnesota Twins on a ringing two-run double by Royce Lewis, who's driven in all four runs. The Twins failed to add on against the bullpen until the eighth inning and were still leading 4-2 when Joe Ryan left after 6 1/3. Alcala and Jax were outstanding in relief, and then the Twins bats came alive in a classic 2024 White Sox eighth inning. They hit a batter. Austin Martin ran for Matt Wallner. He went to second, tagging up on a fly ball out to left when the outfielders got a little casual. With two outs, an intentional walk, a two-run double for Vasquez when the two outfielders pulled up and looked at each other, but neither caught the ball. Castro hits a home run. Buxton hits a home run. Everybody goes home happy. 10-2. Twins over the White Sox, who've lost 18 straight, right here on your home for Twins baseball.
And coming up tonight, as I said, Joe Mauer Hall of Fame a night, and going to be a big crowd there. 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch. Bailey Ober will get the start for the Twins. I doubt the game will start at 6:10, though, as they'll have a lot of on-field ceremonies there honoring Joe Mauer prior to the first pitch. But you can hear Twins baseball coming up later on today here on KOKK. Dakota Sports Saturday this morning, a full show will come your way just shortly before, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. We'll get the monthly update, Nordby Center for Recreation, with Executive Director Joey Mitchell. It's been a fun this summer. We've talked to three Huron High School graduates who are making their steps known in the world of college athletics. Jaron Duffy, J.C. Hupp previously, and now Ryan Chase, 2016 graduate of Huron High School. He has just taken over as head cross country and track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan University. Visited with Ryan about his new job this week. And also stock car racing, the final event of the season, Dakota State Fair Speedway, coming up in a couple of weeks. Talk to Ken Lindblad, track announcer, about that. More on the Twins win last night as well. That's Dakota Sports Saturday coming up at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Norby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Norby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We're here with Rich Bragg from Slumberland Furniture in Huron. And Rich, it's time to celebrate. Big anniversary sale going on right now. You guys are celebrating, and with that, great discounts for everyone.
Yes, Slumberland has been around for 57 years. Something worth celebrating, and we are celebrating by offering 57% off throughout the entire store off of list prices. So one of the better sales that we have going on, and again, some really great specials. We've got great sectional starting for just over $1,000 for a reclining sectional. We have some great deals on Lazy Boy recliners starting as low as $399. Really good deals on Sealy and Tempur-Pedic and Stearns & Foster, so lots of good mattress specials. In fact, we have our any size mattress promotion, which is a really, really great deal. You can get a king size memory foam mattress for as low as $99 right now. You can take advantage of that 57% discount and still combine that with the 0% financing. So we are offering financing for up to 24 months with 0% interest. Plenty of reasons to stop on out to Slumberland and take advantage of our great anniversary sale.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning, back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. It's our monthly update from Joey Mitchell and the Norby Center for Recreation. As kind of a transition here now as we get into the month of August, the youth activities kind of wrapping up. And so, Joey, really for what you do for the summer, things kind of finish up right about now.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jeff. This is our last couple days here, you know, into August. We'll go till Friday, but, you know, we're wrapping up. We've been training the girls' volleyball team, the high school girls. We've been training the high school girls' basketball team. We've been training some younger athletes, you know, fifth through eighth graders. We've also done some basketball camps, some volleyball camps, basketball lessons, volleyball lessons. We had swim lessons before the pool closed. So yeah, everything's just wrapping up right now kind of here, and we do have a couple weeks of day camp left, so and then once that finishes up, everything will, the kid part of the Norby Center will kind of calm down for a couple weeks before school gets amped back up and going.
So I guess the main thing is, you mentioned the pool, let's just dive into that, pun intended there, but it's been closed for right around a month, probably still a little bit, but you are expecting to get things going. But I guess the thing people just need to understand here, this is a process, the project you're doing with the pool, it's planned maintenance, not something that went wrong.
Yep, you're exactly right. Careful diving in right now, though, Jeff. it might hurt you. It's just concrete. But you're exactly right with the process. You know, we had to drain it, and we drained it early a couple days because we had a contractor coming in to sandblast it. And with doing that, we just wanted to make sure we had it empty when he showed up. So we did do that a couple days early. And then on the back end of that, once he got done, it wasn't just we got to jump in the pool and start painting. You know, there was a lot of preparation to be done to the area we were painting after the sandblaster. So again, that was another week or so out, and then we finally got in painting, and, you know, it looks great, and right now it's just curing. So we have to just give it some time to cure, and, you know, hopefully it's 10 days, I'll say, and we have water starting to flow back in. After water starts to fill back in, you know, it's going to be a couple days yet before people are, or it's up to swimming and chemicals are safe and all that. But, you know, hopefully in about 2 weeks or just about 2 weeks, I'd say we're back with the pool functioning.
You know, and other than that, I think you mentioned you still might have a few private basketball lessons, that sort of thing. But the main parts of the summer program, especially for the youth, they are wrapping up.
Yep, you're exactly right. There are some basketball lessons available still. You know, Coach Reed does some. I do some myself. This summer we had Haven Hines doing some. She's actually going to be taking off to go back to Dakota Westland. You know, she's the GA there for the volleyball team. So we won't be able to offer her anymore moving forward, but we still have some options with that. We do have karate coming up after school gets rolling. Registration is open if you wanted to get signed up early. That's ages 6 through adults, so really it covers a whole plethora of people, I guess, there.
And then as you look forward, you almost said it is a little bit of a downtime, but you transition from the kids and then more specific to the adult customers, which are there the whole time in the summer. But there's just so many specific kids things now. You just kind of get back to when school's in session, you know, just the whole thing changes.
You're exactly right. We kind of transition our focus back on the older clientele. You know, we offer 22 different classes that are on land, so to speak, and then there's eight or nine classes, you know, we offer in the pool too. So we'll get those amped back up and going and kicked back into gear. And, you know, we see attendance come back kind of in the fall too. You know, out summer it's easy to get outdoors, and we understand that. So we see a transition from our people the same way. So we definitely get geared back up for that.
And, you know, as you look ahead, there are some different things that people can start to sign up for or start looking at. I know while you do offer a lot of things year-round, from new ball to pickleball and things like that, probably gets a little more focus here once school begins.
You're exactly right. They're not chasing or not chasing, but having to watch kids or haul kids around to different events or to the pool or whatever it is. So they have a little more free time with them being in school. And then just about developing that routine again, and then sticking with it. And it's easier to do it once, you know, we hit winter and you stay inside anyways and it's negative 30. But I understand when it's nice out to get outside and things like that, just as long as we're staying active.
And we'll just wrap it up with this. Like you said, you know, it's getting to be a little quieter time, or at least almost a downtime for a few weeks once you get the pool filled back up and ready to go. That's going to increase a lot of activities. Bottom line is you may think it's slow, but yet there's still a lot of activities offered, and all a person has to do is just go on the internet, and there's a few different options to see just what is available.
You're exactly right. There's the internet, we have our website, we have our Facebook. You can just stop in, you know, friendly people at the desk will talk to you, show you around, you know. There's no obligation for anything. Just show up and you can check it out firsthand.
Joey Mitchell, Executive Director of the Nordby Center for Recreation. Again, to find out everything going on at the Nordby, you can go to their website, nordbycenter.org, or visit their Facebook page. Up next, we have talked to a couple of different Huron High School graduates that are climbing up the ladder in college athletics. We have a new one here, Ryan Chase, taking over as cross-country and track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan University. We'll visit with him next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back, Dakota Sports Saturday, and lucky enough to talk to another Huron High School graduate who's doing some good things in college sports, Ryan Chase, 2016 graduate of Huron High School. Just was named head cross country and track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan down in Mitchell a couple of weeks ago, and he's preparing for his cross country season coming up. And Ryan, we're going to go back to your Huron days, but let's just start getting the job. Dakota Wesleyan, your alma mater, the position opened up. Obviously, I'm sure that attracted your interest, but there were still a lot of questions, a lot of footprints to kind of get through to where you're at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was just kind of one of those that the doors opened up, and it was exciting to have the opportunity to come back here to the alma mater. Really wasn't something that I was planning to do this soon, and so it was just kind of a blessing and an opportunity to get to work the program, get to develop it and build it, because there's a lot of building that needs to take place. But really excited for the opportunity to see what we can accomplish and really excited to compete at the next level.
Well, we'll just kind of go back. I've known your dad for many, many years, so I've always been aware of you. You're the youngest of the three Chase kids, and really, I think you were a runner from the time you got to school. I know you did a little wrestling, too, but it just seemed like running was your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was something that kind of always was attracted to me. I mean, I liked just kind of having that opportunity to be out on the roads. I mean, growing up in the country, there's a lot of gravel roads, so spent a lot of time in complete solitude and isolation, just kind of putting the miles in, and that was kind of when I just kind of felt my most clear, my most focused and relaxed, and just kind of was a great way to focus on something that was important to me, wasn't necessarily in the family type of deal, but it was one of those that I really just enjoyed doing and kind of helped me develop into the person I am today.
You know, in Dakota Wesley, and then I remember you were recruited by them to come and run. And what led to you going to Wesley? And I'm sure you looked at a few other spots as well.
Yeah, I mean, the big nice thing was the opportunity to compete in college and kind of just have a program that matched what I was looking for with kind of the focus on the team and that community connection. That's, I think, the biggest thing that leads most people to Wesley is the small size, the way that you're able to have a tight-knit community. Being able to grow closer together, always feel supported. I mean, especially when you go to college, it can feel like you're kind of on an island sometimes and you're just kind of a number. That was never the case at Dakota Wesleyan. Everybody knew your name pretty soon after you got on campus and you knew theirs. And that was just kind of that atmosphere of knowing if I have struggles or challenges, like there's people to go be there, support me. And I think that's a big thing that attracts most people to Wesleyan is just that community feel that you really can't find anywhere else.
You and your running career at Dakota Wesleyan, unfortunately, kind of got cut short. Sounds like you were doing well, but then a major injury your second year there kind of ended up having you change your focus on where you're going to go. You stayed involved, but not so much on the running level anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was kind of a blessing as well, to where I was very focused and driven on the running and competing aspect, and I think I kind of got priorities realigned in a little ways that made me a lot better of a well-rounded individual, a lot more capable of connecting with people in a variety of ways. It forced me to grow in different activities and kind of opened different doors and avenues for me, and then kind of got pulled back into the running scene the last couple of years, and that's just where I feel like that's where I was supposed to be all along and that's where I'm supposed to be. And so, yeah, just kind of trying to make the most of the bad situations that happen to you. You can never control those things, but you can control how you respond. And I always just tried to make the most of the opportunities that I had when competing was kind of taken away. You just got to find that other way to channel that focus, channel that determination and willingness to do your absolute best, whatever it is. And so that's something that I took away, something I hope to share with athletes as well. Hopefully they have a more successful competing career just because of that injury really limited what I was able to do and what I wanted to do. But just being able to take care of them and help them know that just because something bad happens doesn't mean that the world is ending. It just might mean you need to pivot.
And one thing I was just thinking here, I'm kind of looking over your biography here as we're visiting, and you couldn't have picked probably a worse time to graduate from college. History major, political science, communications minor. That's beside the point. You graduated in May 2020. What a great time to be a fresh college graduate right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was kind of funny because you look at the fall of 2019 and everything was great. The economy was great. Everything was booming. The job market looked like it was going to be fantastic for us graduates. And then slowly but surely, you started to hear a thing about COVID-19 in about January. And we went home for spring break in March. And with no warning whatsoever, about halfway through spring break, we got an email from the administration saying that we weren't coming back the rest of the year. And so that was quite the change, and if anyone I'm sure remembers, I'm sure they want to block it out of their memories because it wasn't a fun time, but everything got shut down and locked down, and so it kind of went from we had all these great prospects and we're excited for the future to, oh my goodness, like, is anybody going to hire anybody? Are we just going to be unemployed because everything shut down? At least South Dakota, it wasn't that bad, but in a lot of other places, things just kind of really slowed down, and there was a lot of questions and uncertainty, and so it was an interesting time to go through the graduation process and trying to find that first job, which I'm sure anybody knows is really important for where you go from the rest of your career.
And I would imagine just from visiting before we started here, you kind of changed your lane a bit because of COVID. It sounded like you, as I said, you had a political science minor. You had looked at some things in Washington, I believe the summer before. You had actually spent some time there, but everything getting shut down in 2020, you kind of had to change a bit there.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of was really looking at whether I stay here or whether I go out to Washington, D.C., and that was kind of leaning more towards D.C. probably in the fall of that year, my senior year. And when COVID shut everything down, it's like, why would I go spend all that time just sitting in my apartment, spending an insane amount of money on rent, not even being able to work in person for who knows how long? And so it was just kind of one of those, like, okay, at least I need to figure out what I want to do in this area, because at least then I can get experience and do things on the ground, and maybe that door would open up later on, and opportunities provided themselves to where South Dakota is where I'm supposed to be, it's where I want to be, and really excited to have that opportunity to stay close to home.
You know, talking with Ryan Chase, he's a 2016 Huron High School graduate, just named head cross country track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan University down in Mitchell, preparing for his first season as head coach. And you know, just looking at your background here, again, I find so many parallels. The political science, obviously, everybody knows your dad has been in the state legislature and has been involved in a government, although he's getting ready to slow down from that. But you're in education, your sister's in education. Your mom's been a longtime teacher in the Huron School District. You're kind of picking up some of the family traits there.
Yeah, it really wasn't intentional in a lot of ways, but it's kind of the way the opportunities have come and where things have kind of led to. And so, I mean, it's nice to have those people in your life that have that experience that you can kind of rely on. Don't think political science or politics is anywhere in my future anytime soon, for sure. But yeah, just happy to be with that education. I mean, I think the biggest thing that you get with that is the opportunity to really impact and mentor young people who a lot of times need that person. And so that's what I've loved at my time with Mitchell Christian in the education role, but also getting to come here, work with more college-age students as they figure out what they're going to do with their life, who they're going to be in this life. Really excited to be that positive role model and mentor to help them kind of achieve their goals and be the best person they can be.
Well, we'll get to the last 2 years where you taught and coached at Mitchell Christian, but before that, after you graduated and with COVID, so much uncertainty, you did find an opportunity and you were able to go back to Dakota Wesleyan and do some work there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of opened the doors to where I was able to be there and kind of still work with that college-age group. I mean, I always knew I kind of wanted to work with people. I didn't really want a transactional relationship where you kind of just go back and forth, and then you move on to the next thing. I wanted something a little more transformational where you can feel like you're truly making an impact. And so kind of working with that college-age group at Dakota Wesleyan was nice. I was able to build a lot of relationships and kind of help a lot of people in that aspect. Just kind of see campus from a different perspective, too, I think is a positive, just to see the behind-the-scenes, work with more of the people who are achieving the student experience at the university. I think that was a really good eye-opening experience, too, just to not have a limited perspective to kind of broaden your horizons.
Then you spent 2 years at Mitchell Christian, and typical of a small school, you had to wear a lot of hats. You taught, I believe you spent some time as AD. You were cross-country, I assume, track and field coach as well. So, you know, that small school experience, obviously different than college, and, you know, you get to try a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, you get to wear a lot of hats, and a lot of times you're not super thrilled to always wear all those hats. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming and exhausting, but it was a great opportunity to kind of just be thrown into the fire, figure things out, get that experience. And so, I mean, that's been the best is you, like I was able to be a full functioning head coach at the age of 24 and kind of learn the mistakes and the things that we need to correct or what to focus on and what not to worry about as much. And I mean, a lot of times that's how you get that experience. It's great to sometimes follow somebody else and learn from what they do, but I think the best experience is just being the one actively on the ground, making the mistakes, learning the lessons, learning what works, what doesn't. And I think that's been the blessing of the last 2 years. I've just been able to experiment a lot, learn a lot of things, and in an environment that encourages you to take risks and kind of see what works and what doesn't, that's really kind of set me up for what the future has to hold.
And obviously, going to college was a nice step, especially at your age. But one thing we can't forget with Mitchell Christian, from a coaching standpoint, you are leaving a very, very good situation there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really the hard part that made it bittersweet. I mean, when I got there, we really only had one distance girl who ran cross country. And now we're kind of up to six, I believe, that will be there for this year if everyone still goes out. And so that's kind of been really exciting to see that roster that grow and some of those girls develop. And so, I mean, they're ready for a big step and big leap forward this year. And then on the boys' side, I mean, I was blessed with some really talented athletes who just kind of needed a little bit of structure and a little bit of preparing them for what they're actually trying to accomplish. And we were able to make big strides. I mean, it's hard to leave when you got a bunch of guys who have been committed to everything you're trying to do and seeing that progress and that success, and they're really young. I mean, our best athletes are sophomores and a freshman on the boys' side, and so it's hard to leave that, but and that's what made it bittersweet, especially those relationships and the connections you have. But sometimes when you have a plan, God kind of just laughs and throws you in a different direction, and you just got to hang on for the ride.
Can talk with Ryan Chase, 2016 here on high school graduate, and just became a couple weeks ago head cross country track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan, leaving Mitchell Christian. Tell us the story about applying at Dakota Wesleyan. If I got the story right from your dad, you were actually not in Mitchell, somewhere out of state when you saw or found out there's an opening at Dakota Wesleyan.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of those things, it's a God thing, because, yeah, I was at a coaching clinic in Kansas City. I had zero intention of leaving Mitchell Christian at all. I had not even considered applying to any other jobs the entire time I was there. I fully expect to be there for a few more years, and was at a coaching clinic in Kansas City, and originally was planning, it was a Friday and Saturday clinic, originally was planning on heading back Saturday night, just kind of driving late and getting back about 2 a.m., so I didn't want to really spend another night in a hotel. But that was kind of due to the flooding. My mom basically guilt-tripped me into staying an extra night. So I stayed the extra night and kind of was networking with some coaches and kind of just off the cuff. The coach mentioned that there was a job open in Kansas City at a community college. And so I knew I wasn't going to apply for it, but I was just kind of curious to see what the requirements were, what they were looking, just to kind of get an idea. Because I knew I wanted to get into college coaching at some point. It was just a matter of probably a few years more down the line. And so as I went to kind of the website where you can see all the different jobs listed for college coaching, there about the fourth one down was Dakota Wesleyan. And the position had been open for almost like 2 weeks, and I didn't even know about it. I must have missed the publication of it because I really wasn't looking at all for coaching jobs at that point. And so just kind of had that weird coincidence of discovering that at about 9 o'clock at night, and then just kind of like, well, do I go for it? Do I wait until it possibly comes up again after a few more years of coaching at high school? And just kind of felt like, you know, you never know when the position might open again, and if I didn't at least throw my name in the hat to be in contention, I probably would have regretted it and always wondered what if. And obviously with the result and how it went, very happy that I did at least put my name in the hat, see what could come from it, because it obviously led me to being here.
And so you interview, you get the job, obviously, and, you know, kind of late to be hired as a coach. I don't care, high school, college, whatever level, you're just, you got the job just a few weeks before your cross-country season started, but at least you had a lot of familiarity with the program anyway, and I know Wesleyan does recruit South Dakota hard, so I'm sure there's some athletes there already that you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and I mean, that's the nice part coming from the high school realm. You have good relationships with a good amount of high school coaches anyway, and I think in a lot of ways they're the gatekeepers to the athletes, because some athletes want to be recruited and have their information out there, but a lot of times if you have to kind of contact the coaches contact you in order to get into contact with the athletes. And so I think those connections are really nice. I mean, it's nice that I've gotten to watch a lot of these kids who are going to be in the class of 2025, class of 2026 in person at meets, just because we've had our kids competing against them, and so gives you a really good idea of where everyone's kind of at, what you're kind of looking for from a recruiting standpoint. And so we kind of were able to come in right away. I have certain benchmarks that we're trying to aim for and what we're trying to build, because knowing if we can develop them the right way, if they're coming in at these times, if we do our job, we should be able to get them close to these certain times in order to be very competitive at the GPAC and NAI level. And that's what we want. We want to be competing for conference championships and hopefully in time national championships. I mean, we're not interested in just being good. We want to be the best we possibly can be. And I think in a lot of ways that's great. And so just kind of focus on what we need. There's a lot of building that needs to go into place because we have a very small program and a very small roster. But there's nothing here that's holding us back from being able to accomplish the goals that I have for the program and that the athletes have for each other.
You know, and you kind of answered this already, but I'll ask it anyway, where, you know, now that you're in college, I don't believe you will be teaching at this point. And when you're a head college coach, I don't care what sport, 1A, your 1A responsibility is coaching, your 1B responsibility is recruiting. So, you know, those are some changes that you will have to dive into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, honestly, it's exciting for me. I mean, recruiting's been always something that's fascinated me, and that's something I was always excited about, getting into the college coaching realm. I mean, high school is nice because you always have a base level of athletes. You're never going to have to worry about necessarily going out to try and get more. You'll always have them in the school system. But the nice thing about it is you also can raise that ceiling of what you're able to do by being able to go out and recruit more athletes, more talented athletes, or what gaps you have in the roster. And so that's the exciting part. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, recruiting is huge. You can be a good college coach and not obsess about recruiting, but I don't feel like you can be a great college coach without being very focused on recruiting and bringing in the best possible athletes. And so I think that's kind of the biggest focus is this year we want to set the culture. We want to set what the focuses and the foundations of the program are, get everybody who's currently on the team bought into those, moving in the right direction, raise our expectations, raise our goals. Because I think a lot of times it can be very just trying to get a little bit better, but we can do a lot better than that. We can try and be competitive at the highest level right off the bat, just kind of raise what these athletes believe they can do. And then when we bring in athletes in the future, they will come in and see that culture and that environment right away and be a lot more focused on knowing what the expectations are, what it takes to get us where we want to go, and how we can help each other get there to get throughout the same time.
Well, it's been a great interview. This has been a fun visit. I'll just bring one more thing and then let you go because I know you're busy with just getting ready for a season here. But one thing I look at, I believe you're 26 or right in that neighborhood. Do you feel, you know, getting this job at your age, are you maybe a year or two ahead of where you thought your schedule would be?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fully expected, like I said, to be a Mitchell Christian for a few more years and kind of get to see those kids graduate. And that was kind of the expectation, and then I felt, okay, it would be the next logical step to take the next step to collegiate level. And so, yeah, probably a few years ahead of where I expected or planned to be. But, I mean, it doesn't really feel like it's overwhelming at all. Everything makes sense. Everything's going well. This is the second week, and everything's been going smooth. We've had several kids on campus already, several conversations with recruits that we've reached out to in the last week and a half. And so, just a matter, there's going to be a big learning curve, I'm sure, with a lot of things that are just at the collegiate level and just different responsibilities when it's a full-time gig rather than just something you do in the fall and the spring. But a lot of it's just going to be learning as we go and seeing what we can accomplish because, like I said before, that's how I've learned the skills that I have right now is just kind of doing things and making the mistakes and learning from those mistakes and figuring out the best path forward. And that's what we're going to have to do here at Dakota West Bank.
Just love it when this happens. Here on high school graduate 2016, Ryan Chase just took over his position as head cross country and track and field coach a couple of weeks ago at Dakota Wesleyan University. Here in the last several years, we've had three here on high school graduates make their mark in college athletics. Jaron Duffy, an associate AD at the University of South Dakota, J.C. Hupp, women's a rodeo coach at the University of Wyoming, and now Ryan Chase, head track and field and cross-country coach at Dakota Wesleyan University. Racing is coming here in a couple of weeks to Dakota State Fair Speedway in Huron. We'll talk to Ken Lindblad next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We continue Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll talk stock car racing. Final event of the summer for Dakota State Fair Speedway in Huron is coming up Saturday, August 17th. The Bauman Agency Harvest of Champions looks a little old school here, as the traditional five classes that have run for so many years in Huron will be running on that Saturday night, joined by Ken Lindblad, track announcer for Dakota State Fair Speedway. And yeah, it kind of just kind of feels to me like a little bit like old times here for this final race.
It's a basic race is what we're doing out here. We're running for the only time this year. We'll be running all five of what would have been the regular classes here at the Speedway. We'll have the Wasota Sanctioned Street Stocks, the Mid-Mods, Super Stocks, and the Modifieds, and then the always thrilling Tri-State Late Models. We've had 30-plus of those the last couple times they've been here this summer, and Miller will be running them the night before we are. So that should show a whole bunch of them up here in the area, I think, competing for the top dollars there.
The addition there is the Modifieds. Haven't always run them in recent years, but can you say, I had a driver approach, say, can we go? And said, well, if you can get enough drivers here, we'll put you on the docket. And it's pretty much how it went.
That's exactly what happened. The Modifieds were not originally on the schedule, and one of the drivers in particular approached Orville and said, if I can put the drivers together, will you run them? And he says, bring me a list of who agrees, and we'll take a look at it. So he put them all on there. So hopefully, you know, we're going to have 9 or 10 of the mods, the A mods, and of course a good field of all the rest of them. But the big one's always going to be the late models, I think, this year, because that was a lot of late models. I think 37 or something like that we had here during Wheel Jam.
Well, the first three races of the season kind of packed close together there, about a 4-week span. You had the three races, and from what it looked like to me, you had pretty good car counts and pretty good crowds there as well.
We've had some good nights. The weather's cooperated with us, and that isn't always in our favor, but a lot of the tracks around the area have been fighting Mother Nature, and a lot's going to depend on that. You know, if we get rid of this heat and put together a 70-75 degree day, I think we'll have a good crowd out there. But we've got plenty of ice cold beverages for sale at the deals, so people can get cooled down.
And these four race seasons that Orville's been putting together here the past several years, just kind of want to keep the sport alive. There have been struggles. I mean, there's struggles everywhere, obviously. But, Ken, we've kind of found here, if you get the cars to show up, the people are going to show up and watch. It's good entertainment.
People will come and watch it. But the big key there, as you said, Jeff, if the cars are there, those things are not cheap to operate. They're getting more expensive each and every year, and it's not going to be the sport that we saw back in the 60s, 70s, into the 80s. It's been on a decline with numbers, and again, the main problem there is the cost, but it sure helps to see a full grandstand up there as far as the promoter is concerned when he starts looking at future events, how many, if any, you know, that we're going to run. So come on out and support this thing while it's still here. Please come on out and bring the whole family and just make a night of it and find out why we call it Huron's Action Attraction.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. Give us all the details for the 17th.
Okay, August 17th, it's the Harvest of Champions, sponsored by the Bauman Agency of Huron. We're running all five classes. It'd be streets, mid-mods, super stocks, modifieds, and the tri-state late models. And it's going to be just a super night of racing, final night of the year. Come on out and see us.
That's Saturday, August 17th, 7 o'clock sharp, as they like to say, Dakota State Fair Speedway final race of the season. Some Twins baseball next as we wrap it up here on Dakota Sports KOKK.
We're here with Rich Bragg from Slumberland Furniture in Huron. And Rich, it's time to celebrate. Big anniversary sale going on right now. You guys are celebrating, and with that, great discounts for everyone.
Yes, Slumberland has been around for 57 years. Something worth celebrating, and we are celebrating by offering 57% off throughout the entire store off of list prices. So one of the better sales that we have going on, and again, some really great specials. We've got great sectional starting for just over $1,000 for a reclining sectional. We have some great deals on Lazy Boy recliners starting as low as $399. Really good deals on Sealy and Tempur-Pedic and Stearns & Foster, so lots of good mattress specials. In fact, we have our any size mattress promotion, which is a really, really great deal. You can get a king size memory foam mattress for as low as $99 right now. You can take advantage of that 57% discount and still combine that with the 0% financing. So we are offering financing for up to 24 months with 0% interest. Plenty of reasons to stop on out to Slumberland and take advantage of our great anniversary sale.